and very special time. You know, they say when you you go back to when you first believed, how wonderful that was. And it's a perfect place. And then so then we go on with the Lord, and how long has it been? Let's see, 33, 76, that's 44? Oh, my head's still pretty good. 44. So along that time, it isn't always with the Lord and going up. There are times where it's like I get back into myself. I was reading this. This guy was commenting on the culture today with the, what do you call these things? Yeah, that's it. iPad. So, and I got one. But the guy goes into an airport and he walks down, he says, everybody's sitting there, you know. Everybody's, no communication. But there's one thing worse than that. They're depending on the voice of Google, or they have now names for some of these things you put in your house, right? I forget the name. One of them, Alexa, that's it. Yeah, Alexa. Let's see what Alexa says. You know, we'll do what Alexa. Everybody's starting to depend on that stuff. No Jesus. Jesus communication is a direct communication, right? Me and Jesus. You and Jesus. Not Alexa. No. And Google, who knows what you're going to get in your head after a while. And you tend to get into the flesh or into the world, into this world, which we're supposed to be aliens, right? Not of this world, but just visiting. What a week I had this last week. Oh, my goodness. I was a visitor. I started on Monday at 7, and it just has gone crazy. Ended up with same old bed, but the new house, and two grandkids on the floor, and one bathroom. You figure that out. That works pretty good, huh? Yeah. Well, we survived. And stuff everywhere. Still got more stuff to bring. And it was all about me, though, you know, getting ready, doing this, doing that. And we got a call. We work for the Salvation Army. And we got a call to go to the car fire up at Reading. I couldn't go. I am moving. I'm doing something. You know, it tugged at me all week, you know. But anyway, it's interesting how quickly we can go to Jesus and then how quickly we go right back to ourselves. And I found a way that I think when I do get back to Jesus, here's the way it happens. And it's a way to get out of yourself. And how about depression? You ever had depression? My wife says I got one that I think lowly of myself. What is that? What would you call it? Oh, okay. All right. We'll talk about that later. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And you can't, you know, yeah, I'm a martyr. Okay. Oh, that's embarrassing, honey. You know, jeez. You're supposed to encourage me. But, I mean, I think about it. I've done all these things. Depression, anxiety, nervous, huh? What are we supposed to do? Yeah, that's a sin, worrying, right? Lack of self-worth. I think that's really where you were going with that, right? Yeah. And just plain, I don't feel good today. I'm not getting ahead. How about that one? I remember for years working. I worked for a company for 13 years, and I always felt like I gotta get ahead. Gotta get ahead. Not getting ahead. And then we started our own business, and then I don't have enough customers. Always trying to do something more. And it's all about self. It's interesting. In the midst of Jesus in me and me letting him out when I want to, which we always have that option, you know, that endemic nature just keeps coming up. 76 years, I think it would stop pretty soon. I'd just, you know, be like a monk or whatever they call those guys in the hills there. You know all the religious, I don't know this stuff, you know. This is not a homily. I don't even know what one is. She's saying I'm gonna. I got the homily today. No, I don't know what a homily is. So I'm thinking back with all these trips that I've taken over the years. I retired sort of in 2006, and prior to that, in my company, I think I was 50% company, 50% traveling, and encouraging, talking about Jesus all over the world, and doing all these wonderful things, and they were fun. They were encouraging. It was really some real neat times. And then in 2006, I went full-time in that. And then in 2012, I have no idea what I've been doing for the last few years. But in all of this, the times that I felt the most peaceful and comforted and just knowing I was in the right place was not in getting up like in Hong Kong in front of 4,000 people and sharing your story. No, it was sitting on a corral in a pretty smelly, ugly place in a little ranch in Mexico, sitting down with some drunken cowboy, just talking. I just felt at home, sitting in this pile of stuff. And because we're talking about Jesus, you know? And I remember another time, one of those special moments. That, you know, you think back of all these things that happened and you end up with this thought is where you feel the best. I was in a car, in a Russian car. It was way back in 89. I was in a Russian car with a guy who spoke Russian, and his English was Hallelujah, Jesus Christ, Coca-Cola. That was his three words he had knew in English. So we had a real, you know, real understanding. So the two of us are pouring down rain, and the Americans are behind me in another van. And so I'm kind of going with this guy because there's no more room in the van. So he starts singing a song. And I forget the song, but I could get the understanding it was a song I knew, but a different language. So we're going down a road. This is probably for an hour or so. Singing, I'm in English, and you don't want to hear me sing. But anyway, I'm in English. He didn't mind. And he's in Russian. And I just felt like I was in heaven. It was the time of my life. Special, special moment. It was about, you know, he was feeling good, I was feeling good. And things like that you think about, gee whiz, is that all there is? Well, that's all there needs to be. Because you're in a relationship with somebody and with Jesus. And it's special. I think about when Matthew came down and he went to his house and they had a dinner and they had all these different, you know, the religious people said, those are a bunch of sinners. What are you hanging out with these folks for? This is not the place to be. And he said, that's exactly the place to be. That's where I need to be. I came to save people, not to encourage them in their religious stuff, you know. So I've forever have that has stuck in my head. Probably one of the first. Who was that? Is that time? No, it can't be time yet. Is that lunch or? No. Anyway, you're not going to leave me alone, are you? Not now, Russ. Maybe that'll work. Thinking about the years. So what is one? It's a lot of good experiences, a lot of great things God has done in and around this church, myself, my wife, and my kids. And I'm pleased to have gone through it, but I would do things over again. I would. It's like that guy said with the Google deal, you know? I think we need to spend less time with Google and Alexa. What's her name? Alexa. I don't think I'm going to know her. But and more time. His comment, this was a secular guy, and his comment was, I just need to stay, nothing here, and just think and look ahead and don't look at other things. In other words, get away from the world stuff. In our case, Jesus wants to communicate with us. And I think, you know, we pray, and, you know, we get up in public and we pray with each other. But then here comes the real important part. Do we listen? You know, he's the one that wants the communication. So, but we have to listen to receive it, right? That's my goal. And then I get beat up with a paper in the morning and different obligations. But the thing is to focus on Jesus. And here's the name of the book should be called Others, because I think, now this is not a secret. I could say it's my secret, but it's not. It's a very practical thing to get yourself out of the doldrums. Is that, that's a word, doldrums, huh? Okay. I got Chandler. She's going to check me out in my English test, see if I've never quite reached the right grade level with school. But to get out of that, the answer that I found is it's about others. In each case, when I'd get really down, and you know, not even too long ago, I'd start at least praying about others, thinking about others, but then actually communicating with others and encouraging them and helping them. It's that simple. If you focus on somebody else, this other stuff that you got all these problems going on doesn't work, because you're not focused on it. You don't have to worry about it. It's an interesting phenomenon that if I've got problems, I can't make a payment, I got something, that's some other anxious thing I'm anxious about, but if I go and help someone else, now I can do that, and I don't think about this other thing, and it doesn't wear me down. You know what I'm saying? Something real simple. Others. We've been involved with the Army for, almost 30 years now. And that's an outfit that Others is like their brand almost, you know. In fact, about 6-7 years ago, I started a nonprofit called Others. And it was interesting. It's kind of a Matthew tax collector thing. So we do a golf tournament. It's 29 years now. Next year will be 30 years. And we raise money for the Salvation Army. Raise over $1.5 million. And with the Army's not big on alcohol, right? I mean, their whole gig is to get people off the booze and come to Jesus, but also get them dried up. And so at our tournament, we have a lot of the sponsors or wineries and different people. So we wanted to host wine at the tables because we do a big auction and these people all get happy and enjoy life and give us lots of money for the Army. So, but we couldn't do that writing checks out Salvation Army, you know. So we formed a group called Others. And then we run everything through there. And that way the Army won't get talked about doing something that doesn't quite fit their deal. Or if we were going to, the other thing was we were going to pay for speakers or something, they wouldn't be accused of taking their money and doing that. So we do it and then give them a check. Others. All about others. And we go into where the others are. Because I think our calling as Christians is really about others. You know, I thought about this. When we, and I'm rambling a little bit, but that's just the way it is. Can't help it, honey. Can't help it. Just a rambler. When I first came to the Lord, I thought, this is it. And that guy, Hal Lindsey, he was a big deal about the end of the world, you know. What do you call that? Yeah, but what's the end of the world? Well, you got all kinds of things. But anyway, it's over with. It's kaput. There is no more. The rapture. That's what I was trying to think of. Thank you, Cole. He's the youngest Christian. He's got the word like that. See? Yeah, the rapture. So I thought, it's all good now, we're out of here. And it would be better. And when you think about it, if you just get rid of all your personal thoughts and needs, when you think about it, it would be better to be with him than here. It would be. That's the bottom line. It's hard to get out of yourself to say, to feel something like that. But I was there. And then it came to me. The reason that we're stuck here is really what it is others. Our calling, we all have a calling, and our calling is to minister and help others. And that's the darn bottom line, you know. And to get there, you have to continually spend time with him, I believe, and allow the Holy Spirit. You know, he gave us the Comforter, John 14, man. I mean, Holy Spirit's in us. All we got to do is communicate. But you got to stop Google and Alexia, and there's other ones too. There's one that starts with an S. Siri, yeah. I'll let that guy in my house. No Siri. He already may be. I don't know. But that's the wrong way. I really believe Satan has a, you know, he's got a lock on this thing, where he's got everybody doing this, and the answers are coming from, you know, we were talking with a kid yesterday, a guy that's coming off alcohol and drugs, helping us move, and they were talking about the Funken Wagnall Dictionary, and Nancy used to get, and he got, and all that stuff, and now anyone ever does is push, I got on my phone, and push Google and ask a question, and you get an answer. How do you know it's the right answer? Huh? Who says Google's got the answer? I say don't. I say Jesus got the answer. Man, we got to be careful because we're getting caught up in this world of fast talk. You know, scary. So that's what I'm thinking. I don't know what you're thinking, but I'm thinking this thing is coming over us pretty fast. And I don't think we got along. You know, I don't know. He thinks 80's it. Richard thinks 80's it. I'm betting for 95. But I don't know that either, you know. It could be today. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, I don't think I want to move anymore. This was our third move. You know, the older you get, the harder it is. I'm telling you, 5 years ago we downsized from Cherry Ridge Road over to Santa Rosa and a little place, you know, which I thought was miniature. You ought to see this one. Well, it's going to get bigger, but right now it's pretty tight. Only got one bathroom. You know, that puts me in second place right there. Yeah. But it is nice. I mean, I should say that. But the process, my goodness, the process is all about self, 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 and then you get lost in that. So I guess I'm in confessional mode now where I don't want to get lost in that now. I want to just go do things, right? And this hopefully will be the answer to do that. Because you only feel right, you only really feel at peace, you only really feel like you're worth something when you're helping somebody. I mean, it's just it's a crazy thing, but it's simple. So if you ever get in the doldrums, help somebody. And we have a little video, a 3-minute deal, Chuck, is that what it is? It's called a shoulder tap. Now this is really, really basic. Anybody can do this. So we're going to take a quick look at this. Maybe. You never know. Maybe Alexia will let us. Here we go.
Shoulder taps. So Tony and I are having lunch at California Pizza Kitchen the other day, and across from us I noticed this elderly woman sit down. She's dressed nicely, and she's at a large table by herself for about 5 minutes, and then what appears to be her daughter shows up, and I don't recall, 2 or 3 grandkids, and they all look spectacular, ready for a nice meal, obviously. And at about that time, a voice in my head starts saying, you need to go tell her how pretty she looks. So I don't even know if we're eating at this point or not, but the food arrives. check arrives. We're going to go down the walkway a little bit in this strip center and look for something. And that's the next thing that we're going to move to. So Tony stands up. I don't tell her any of this. And on my way out, I just kneel down and kind of get into this position where I'm at her level, right where she's now in her chair. And I said, hey, if nobody else has told you yet today, I just want you to hear from me how lovely you are. And she looks at me with a look I've never seen before and says, I know you. And I said, no, we don't know each other. And she said, I know your spirit. And it gets really quiet between us. And she says, my husband died a year ago. And that's something he would have said to me. And at that moment, I can't talk. I'm overcome by emotion. And I just hug her and smile at her through tears. And I leave. But here's what I know, and here's the reason I'm telling you this. I believe that God taps us on the shoulders and uses us at just the right moment. And what I know for sure is that she was blessed, and I was enormously blessed. So I've learned in my life to listen to these shoulder taps, because they do happen. And I believe the more that we listen to them, the more in alignment we are with God, and that's an awesome place to be. Shoulder taps.
So what do you think? You think you could do that? Then the question is, will you do that? I can't tell you how many times that God has tapped my shoulder, and I'm sure he's tapped your shoulder. And did you move or not move? Sometimes I didn't move. Sometimes I got fearful, or I was too busy, or I was too about myself. But other times I did move. Gosh, I remember a gal, when we first got involved I became the president of Full Gospel Businessmen in Santa Rosa too many years ago, and I didn't know nothing. I was like Cole. I didn't know nothing, Cole. So, but it's a good place to be. So, I got a letter from a gal in Napa, and I guess Nancy, you'd met her one time or something, but she had no understanding. This gal sent me a letter that God wrote. I mean, it was prophetic, and it was in my face, and it knew all about me. I mean, deep stuff, and I was, wow. I don't mean a gossipy kind of thing. I mean, just really, I was falling apart reading the thing, but it really encouraged me. It really encouraged me, God speaking like that. And that's happened a lot of times in my life where people have done that, and I've tried to be obedient to other people that, you know, God has a word from you, through you, to someone else to lift them up. That's one of the reasons we're here. And it don't have to be that they're Christian. In fact, probably not. People out there need a help. And they're going through all of this bad stuff, anxiety, lack of self-worth. I like this one, just plain don't feel good. There are a lot of that. Taxes are too high, gas is too high, I got a flat tire, all this stuff. But the people need a lift, and they need it through Jesus. Today, we're sitting in a restaurant having breakfast, and this guy comes up to the table with a card, a beautiful little, he takes photographs. He's like David, right? He takes photos, and it's a little card you can write something on and send it to somebody with an envelope. And what did it say, little inscription on the bottom? God's promises. God's promises. Not a track, not trying to beat you up, but just, you know, God's in the deal. All these little things we can do. It's incredible. Yeah. What I want to say is that while I can still speak and talk, I don't know next year what kind of shape I'll be in, Richard, but I could be in better shape, actually. I could be in better shape. My house is right on the golf course. I mean, it's okay. I'm standing here. See the flag? Golf course. That's the tee box. Of course, the problem is they talk to me when I don't want to talk to them, but that's, you know, that's part of what you got to, I think that's why we're there. My wife says, cut it off. Okay. So here's the deal. please, please tap somebody's shoulder. Please. It not only will bless them, but it'll lift you right up, because now you're being used by God. So how many are you going to do that? I see one hand. I see two or three hands, but I mean, I think we need to do this. Okay, so the torture time is over. Now, okay, I'll pray. All right. Father, we love you, Lord, and you know that. We, Father, want to be as obedient as children can be to you. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will permeate each one of us here today, Lord, and move on us to move out and touch somebody, Lord. Allow you to touch somebody through the simple word, through the simple word of encouragement, of love, of just getting an arm around someone, Lord. I thank you for this church, for this community that you have blessed and continue to bless. And Father, so each one here, Father, we just believe you're meeting their needs. We all come here with different thoughts and ideas and problems. Father, touch each problem. Clean it up. Straighten it up. Touch each body here today and just create new strength in us, Lord. Your medicine, your healing power medicine, Father, I just pray you'll move on each one of our bodies and keep us alive and strong. I thank you today for your involvement, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And then one final